Do we really need another podcast? No. But Tony really needs a hobby. Hopefully, he'll put a smile on your face. And if you don't like it, at least it's free. Now grab your favorite beverage and enjoy the Bald and Witty podcast. Here's your host, the author of Tacos and Beer Atmosphere, and founder of baldandwitty.com, here's Tony Mahalski.
It's a quick reaction pod to the Zach Bryan concert in Omaha. I went on the Tuesday, April 30th show. First of all, big tip of the hat to Zach Bryan. With about 100 recordings released over the last 5 years. You compare that to any other artist, I think that's going to win. So when you crank out that much content, that's impressive. I thought these podcasts were hard to crank out. Just imagine 100 over the last 5 years for Zach Bryan. I'd like to talk about the setup of the show in Omaha at CHI Arena. CHI Arena, huge arena, 17,500. In attendance for Zach Bryan both Monday and then another 17.5 on Tuesday. But I thought it was really cool with the setup. He had a huge main stage and then four mic setups, and he was able to bounce around and play to every direction of the arena. It made it seem like a smaller venue. And then he utilized the rope lights like you have in those fancy backyards. For me, whenever I see the rope lights, I'm immediately transported back to NBC's Parenthood. And the Bravermans in their backyard was amazing. And it almost turned the CHI Arena into one big backyard party. Okay, I took notes on like six different bar napkins after the show. So I'll try to keep up and sound somewhat coherent, although I make no promises. When it comes to the demographics of the Zach Bryan show, I was surprised just how young and female the show was. And I have a theory, and I haven't completely vetted this out. But I think the younger generation, I'm going to say between the ages of, 13 and 22, really value authenticity. And I think if you were to compare Zach Bryan to a lot of other artists, no doubt he comes off as extremely authentic. Every word is one that he writes, and he does it in such a way of wordsmithing that it just sounds amazing when he turns a phrase. And it's something that I was drawn to with his music a long time ago, and I was surprised. I thought there'd be a lot more kind of dudes like me there at the show. Military guy. I classify him kind of as Americana with attitude. I thought that'd be more dudes like me at the show, and that was not the case. And then here's my admission. So whenever I go to a show and I see someone get out their phone and they take videos of themselves or taking selfies the whole time, I kind of roll my eyes like, seriously, just enjoy the moment. But I had kind of a transformation at the show last night. I think if you get out your phone and you video you singing to the song, that song means so much to you, it becomes your own personal anthem. And it was pretty impressive to see that kind of passion. And especially the row behind me, I'm going to guess it was probably six high school girls all on their phone videoing them singing the song. And they nailed like every lyric. It wasn't every song. Like, for example, Highway Boys, I think, was the song where I saw the most people going to the restroom. And that was one maybe where dudes like me liked it, but younger female base, maybe not so much. Other songs like East Side of Sorrow, Tourniquet, and Hey Driver, along with the Casey Musgrave song, I Remember Everything, and others really hit home. And it was nice to be surrounded by that much passion. I can't remember. I think the last time I saw that kind of passion at the arena that I went to was back in 2009 with a rising star at the time, Taylor Swift. When you compare passion levels and you compare yourself to Taylor Swift, not a bad deal. The career is pretty bright for Mr. Zach Bryan. Zach Bryan, the ultimate J-sker. On Monday, he brought Matt Rhule, coach of the Huskers, along with Larry the Cable Guy on stage. And then last night, he showed up in a Ryan Kalkbrenner jersey, brought out Dylan Raiola for the end of the show with Revival. I know J-skers take a lot of crap, and honestly, I'm definitely a J-sker myself. So it was nice to see Zach embody my spirit. I felt so seen. I feel weird saying that. Okay, on with the notes. What else? I love the way that he entered the arena. It felt like Bud Crawford walking to the ring. Zach Bryan and his bandmates just walking out in the crowd, walking up on stage. To me, it felt like, hey, we're one of you. We're just going to party and have a good time. There was no big special open, no production to bring him on stage. It was kind of refreshing. On the website, I tried to describe his voice, and the only way I could do it is he felt like Eric Church mixed with Bruce Springsteen and a splash of Axl Rose. And when I say Axl Rose, I just mean the energy. I was trying to think of the most energetic lead singer I could think of. And when he showed up to the concert and was somewhat sober, I think Axl Rose fits that description. If you have a better description, please reach out to me, tony@baldandwitty.com. I mentioned at the end of the essay I penned at baldandwitty.com/music that there were six songs that really made an impact that, honestly, I think I skipped through while streaming Zach Bryan throughout the course of the last 3 months, and I didn't give it its right justice and right respect. So I'd like to put some respect on those titles that I saw last night at CHI. In ascending order, Heading South, which I believe is one of the first songs that he wrote while he was in the military. He mentioned on stage that he spent 2 years in Omaha. I assume that time probably being at SAC. Number five, 5th of May, which, by the way, is coming up soon. Now, during the concert, I was like, what song is this? Thought it was called This Coastal Town or Some Coastal Town, but it's actually called 5th of May and extremely memorable. I love the turn of words and Tourniquet, and that really played out at the concert. East Side of Sorrow, when you break it down, it's like a poem and about how to live life and overcome obstacles, which, if you know anything about me, that's kind of my jam. So I love that. East Side of Sorrow at number three. Dawns at number two. That was one where I was surprised how many people were just absolutely hammering out the lyrics to that song. I was like, ooh, maybe I've been sleeping on this one. And then finally, the duet normally with Warren Treaty. Now, unfortunately, no duet partners with Zach Bryan. He took it solo, and it definitely had a different vibe. But Hey Driver was definitely a sing-along song. If there's a modern-day equivalent to Sweet Caroline that was released in the last year, it might be Hey Driver. Okay, this is a deep aside, and maybe it's something that's more meaningful to me than it is to you if you're listening to this podcast. I respect the way that Zach Bryan goes about growing a career, basically outworking and out-hustling a lot of competitors out there and going about it in a different way. A lot of artists will kind of play the corporate country radio game, and Zach Bryan doesn't do that. Maybe because his music is hard to define on a normal mainstream country radio station. I think he leans more Americana with attitude, if that's even a category. And that's one of the biggest frustrations I have is when people try to group together music. So me even saying Americana with attitude doesn't help. So it's just great music. The lyrics are fantastic. It's something about the comparison between Zach Bryan and Taylor Swift that I didn't think much about until after seeing the concert. Maybe it's because I was so blown away when I saw Taylor Swift in 2009 at the Tyson, and so equally blown away with Zach Bryan at the CHI. Just because they do things completely different than other people in the same setting of the music that they share. I think there's something to trusting your internal voice and following who you are as an artist. And it could just be that I was surrounded by high school girls and the sound was so familiar because it was just like that show back in 2009. So of the 100 songs, I think two have had some foray into mainstream country radio. That, of course, Something in the Orange, which, by the way, he didn't even play at my concert on Tuesday, April 30th. I did talk to my buddy Jeff. He said they played it on Monday. So it almost seems like two pretty different shows from Monday to Tuesday. I was also hoping for 68 Fastback. He did not do that on Tuesday. And Spotless, which is probably my favorite tune, the one he does with the Lumineers. I believe he took that off the set list on both Monday and Tuesday. I'd like to get some love for some early Facebook users who commented on the article I posted at baldandwitty.com, including Tori. She says she loves Dawn's, Hey Driver, and Tourniquet among her favorite songs. Got a nice note here from Cody. Cody is an amazing dude in Omaha, and he said his favorite album is the one that was recorded live at Red Rocks. I probably listened to that album for a month straight. There's not enough really good live albums anymore. This one almost felt like Frampton Comes Alive. So good. And Cody said he was intrigued with that Eric Church Springsteen reference as well. And that's just tough. I don't know how else. I mean, he is definitely his own person. And so it's tough to even put those other names on his name. But I thought there's some merit just with the energy level. And the energy level from start to finish was just amazing. You could see him just really believing every single word that came out of his mouth. So this concert was the first one I went to in almost one entire year. The last concert I saw was Big and Rich in a cornfield at Denim Fest. This one had a different vibe completely. I'm so appreciative of where we are just in the world right now. It was the same arena where I saw Creighton and Seton Hall. I believe it was early March of 2020. It was a great sporting moment. And then 2 days later, the entire world came crashing down. And it was so nice to be around fun-loving people. They were there for a shared love of music and Zach Bryan. And I won't take that for granted. So if there's one upside to COVID, and I don't want to spend any time talking about COVID, aside from the fact that it gives you some perspective and how very fortunate we are to get together and enjoy fantastic music from a talented artist like Zach Bryan. So if you have some comments, if you went to the show, or if you'd like to comment about the career of Zach Bryan or anything else, you can reach out to me. Let's see. You can find me on X. I'm at Bald and Witty. A big shout out to my buddy Ryan. I posted about my new part-time job where I'm going to be the public address announcer for the Sioux City Explorers. And Ryan's like, hey, loved your IG post. And I said, my what? He said, your Instagram post. I'm like, I don't use Instagram. He's like, well, it posted. I was like, oh no, is that tied in with Facebook? Apparently it's automatically linked. And so I said, oh man, I have got to figure out my login for Instagram. My buddy Ryan replied, it's way too early for this, dude. I had some information that wasn't right on there, so I had to do some big time scurrying yesterday. But thanks to Ryan, I didn't know I was on Instagram. So apparently you can find me on Instagram. It's Bald and Witty Guy. That's me. And as always, there's a nice feedback portion on the website. I'd love for you to chime in. It's meant to be a very interactive website at baldandwitty.com. This is posted under the music tab. There should also be an audio tab and a lot more audio projects coming soon. So thanks so much for checking out this podcast. Just a quick review of Zach Bryan and a concert I won't forget for a very long time. Thanks for checking out the pod. And as always, weigh in. You can send an email, tony@baldandwitty.com.
Because the world needs more joy, discover baldandwitty.com. Get fresh observations about movies, music, and more.